everyone's convinced themselves that they listen to 80 comics podcasts
Speaking
every week
of the Mandela Effect. I'd like to welcome our newest member, Emily, to the show. She's going to be a new permanent host.
Thank you so much, guys, for this opportunity. I really look forward to filling the spot left behind by the previous Emily, and I think this is going to be a great fun time.
Yeah, we wanted to get a new Emily. The old one was, we were done with her, you know? So
yeah, I mean,
we're glad to have you.
She was moving on, and, you know, we're not one to stifle our creators. We want to let them go, but it did leave an Emily-sized hole in our podcast, so... thank you, Emily, for...
What shape is an Emily-sized hole?
I don't know. Thank you, Emily, for changing your name to Emily for the show.
I want to congratulate the old Emily on her new successful podcast, Warrior Chats, with Emily and Chad.
Warrior Chats.
Warrior Chats with Emily and Chad. When is this actually becoming...
It's not a real podcast. It's a podcast within a podcast that Chad and I have, I guess, done two episodes of now. And I did. Well, the first Warrior Cats episode already came out, and then I didn't come up with the name until episode two. But I drew us a picture that I posted in the group chat, so you should have seen it,
Emily. I was driving across the country and moving into a new place
several days ago. That was
and doing interviews. I was very busy.
You'll want to settle down.
It was Thursday or Friday of last week that I sent.
Last week,
yes, that I sent the picture because Friday.
I don't remember.
Friday was when Chad and I recorded.
Netflix got a 3-day memory thing going on. Yeah. Except for comic books.
If you listen to the Warrior Cats episode that Chad and I did record, the second one, you get to find out Chad has a Warrior Cats name now that we came up with.
Wait, did it already come out?
No, I haven't edited it yet.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There we go.
I actually forgot we did it until Emily brought it up. And I'm like, oh, shit, I have to do that tomorrow.
This is promo for the new episode. You get to find out Chad's Warrior Cat name. We used a name generator and picked the one that we liked the best.
That's wonderful.
I got drunk on brandy on that episode, so you get to listen
$12 brandy.
It was free. Someone gave me the bottle.
So bougie.
Well, I remember Chad saying something about $12 brandy. But
I got a bottle of the Chinese stuff this week.
You're gonna need to be more specific than the Chinese stuff.
You know the Chinese stuff,
the Chinese stuff brandy that I've brought up before, because I get a bottle like once a year and it makes me extremely happy. So I go, hey guys, I got another bottle of my Chinese brandy.
Is this the one that you buy, or is this the one that your coworker like drops in your desk mysteriously every year?
This is the one my coworker drops in my desk mysteriously every year.
All right, I'm glad they're consistent.
Nice.
Yeah, it's great. It was funny because he accidentally dropped it on Heather's desk, and she was willing to fight me for this. And then he was like, well, maybe you guys should just try it right now. And it was like 12, and we were still on the clock. And I was like, yeah, maybe we should. So I went and grabbed some glasses.
Yes!
Because I was like, Heather, it's been a while since we've done something that should get us fired at work.
Understandable.
And so we sampled it. We only had a little bit because we are adults and we're responsible. When we drink at work, and she didn't like it. So she's like, the bottle is yours. I was like, yes, I win. Wow. And then me and my dad proceeded to drink half of it the other day.
Good for you. This is a really cute bit of cover art, Emily, podcast art. I really like it. I like the green highlights on your, I don't know if that's your fursona or not, but
no, it's not my fursona. This is my Warrior Cat sona.
How
get it right.
My actual fursona is a sloth. Not that any of you have ever asked.
I feel a little bad about that. I guess I probably should have at one point or another.
I knew that because in your 2000 tweet thread of pit crew pictures, I think some of them are sloths.
Yes.
So I think I made that connection.
Yes.
Which is why I haven't asked.
Huh.
Have you thought about picking a cooler animal?
No, you have to go with your heart, and my heart said sloth, so.
I'm sorry, mine's an ocelot. I didn't pick that. Someone else did.
I like it. I like it.
I like it until I have to draw all the spots, and then I'm like, oh, fuck you, Chad. Why do I have to do this?
Yeah, and then that's a Cameron, who also said the same thing. He's the one who picked it, though. That was his fault.
Yeah, this is Cameron's fault. I'm going to blame him.
Is it like a Harry Potter situation where like the wand chooses the
persona? It's more like a Patronus situation where like you just you gaze into the furry void and see what gazes back.
Damn.
That's not what happened to me.
What happened?
I was assigned one.
Well, you refused to gaze into the furry void.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So we gazed for you, champ.
Actually, I think I did pick Meerkat, but not for any reason other than I like Meerkats.
I think
that's usually all you need.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like that's the strong thing. I think we might have been talking about bear because we know you like Winnie the Pooh, and bears are tall and you're tall. Yeah. So you're like, well, this makes sense. And you were
Winnie
like,
the Pooh's fat and I'm fat. You know, lots of things.
Speaking of Winnie the Pooh, Jim Cummings was at the Comic-Con that I went to.
Yeah. How was the first con in a while?
Oh, yeah.
It was okay. I didn't really leave my Artist Alley booth. I normally take, like, a stroll around the con, but, like, oh. I don't know. I just wasn't feeling up to it, so I had
no idea you were there boothing.
Oh, yeah. That's what I usually do at cons, is I go make shmoney and... I didn't really walk around very much this year, but by the time I saw like the fifth person either wearing something Winnie the Pooh related or like doing a sort of Winnie the Pooh closet cosplay with like a red shirt and yellow pants, I was like, why are there so many people dressed as Winnie the Pooh? Normally, when you see a lot of something, that's an indicator that there's an important guest at the con. So I looked and Jim Cummings was, in fact, there. I did not go see him, but I wanted to. I just did not get to it. I would say about 50% of the people were wearing masks, which is kind of better than I anticipated. I wore masks the whole weekend. It was not bad. It was busier than I thought it would be, and saw some cool cosplays. Didn't really take any pictures, but... You know, you got to take in experiences with your eyes and use your brain to take pictures. Those are called memories.
Beautiful.
Got them.
Suck it. I was going to say millennials, but I'm a millennial. Suck it, Gen Z.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A thing I really care about deeply.
I'll go ahead and suck it. as the resident Zoomer. That's cool. It's awesome that you got to go to a con. I would like to go to more cons. And
cons are fun.
Hopefully this year.
I want to leave a con so I can be an ex-con.
Hey. I just want to go to New York Comic Con. And
God, that sounds like too much work.
Wear my We the Nerdy shirt around.
I'm so excited. I'm probably next year as opposed to this year, I'm thinking. But I think next year is very doable.
Yeah. It'd be cool. Cons are fun. I'm glad they're coming back.
I think I still have my We the Nerdy business cards. I might hand those out.
Hell yeah.
We are the nerdy for the nerdy. Here you go. Take it.
Here's our business card.
Yeah.
That doesn't even have real contact information on it. But I digress.
I have a question for John Luke.
Yeah.
John Luke, I would like to know why I should be mad at the last episode of The Bad Batch.
Oh no, Alex and I were red in the face. We were losing our minds.
It's not the latest one. For full disclosure,
yeah.
Not episode 10. We haven't seen that one yet. At least,
okay.
We're watching it together. It's the one before that where Cad Bane and somebody else they fight, and Cad Bane does not win.
It's Fennec Shand, dude. Cad Bane would mop the fucking floor with Fennec Shand. Fennec Shand is a scrub. Cad Bane is the like most highly competent bounty hunter. This motherfucker took on Obi-Wan Kenobi and Quinlan Vos at the same time and came out victorious, dude. There's no way some fucking scrub bounty hunter who has to win the battle because she's from the Mandalorian and everyone loves the Mandalorian. Cad Bane is the sickest motherfucker.
Oh, is she from the Mandalorian? My follow-up question was going to be, did she come up in this show or was she from something else?
She's in the Mandalorian.
I think it's episode 2 or 3 where Mando she's going to kill Mando. Mando, like, it's like assumed that he kills her, but he doesn't actually kill her because he's a good guy, I guess. And then she comes back and they, like, she teams up with Boba Fett in season two.
I see.
Yeah. Good old Fennec. But at least Cad Bane didn't die, so that's good.
Look, man. If she didn't have plot armor.
Oh.
Yeah, that was kind of the impression I got was that if there was plot armor going on.
There's Cad Bane loses to one guy, and it's Bobby.
It's true. This is true.
Yeah.
This is the angriest I've seen Jean-Luc in a long time.
Dude, I was pissed. Watching my boy Cad Bane be humiliated by his own creator, Dave Filoni, just pathetic.
Yep.
That was the first time that the thought crossed my mind that, like, wow, the creators of Star Wars have really become soy boy cucks.
I think that you have irony poisoned your brain.
there's a distinct possibility. I mean, Cad Bane is, look, Cad Bane is probably second only to Ahsoka in terms of, like, the best Clone Wars characters. And so, realistically, it's really cool to see Cad Bane again. I feel like Cad Bane showing up injected so much life into the Bad Batch that it felt like it had been running on steam for a little while. And then the Rex showed up, and that episode was okay. But then Cad Bane really put some stakes back into the show for me, because that is a man who is not to be trifled with, and him just fucking one tapping Hunter at the end of episode 8 was just such a good moment, and built up so much tension going into the next episode. And then they killed Tonwi, my favorite Kaminoan. What the fuck? Just I'm taking L's all over the place on the Bad Batch.
It was not John Luke's episode. For sure.
It was not my episode.
No. But I hear episode 10 is cool.
It's not a bad episode, but Emily, I'm sorry I've dominated this by talking.
I did specifically ask you a question, so yeah. I feel like it was warranted that you gave me an answer.
I am curious in where what your thoughts are, having now watched have you watched episode 10?
I have.
Okay, so you're an episode ahead of Alex and I.
Yes.
So, what are your thoughts on The Bad Batch?
I like
you to watch Star Wars.
I like The Bad Batch. Well, I like Star Wars. I just have never done any of the TV shows. But I just decided to... You sold me on the premise several episodes ago, so I decided to finally watch it. It helps that I have access to my sister's Disney Plus account. But I've watched all of it, and I really like it. I have said before that I really love the trope of... grumpy adult is forced to adopt a precocious child, and this is several grumpy adults that have been forced to adopt a precocious child. So I have enjoyed it, and even though there's something about Omega's accent that kind of kind of is a little grating, but I like her character enough that I'm like, okay, I will grit my teeth through it.
Yeah.
I don't remember if you guys told me that Dee Bradley Baker voiced all the clones, but finding that out was very fun.
I feel like I've mentioned it before on the show.
You probably did. And
he did tons of voice work. Obviously, you know, voicing the clones is alone. A ton of voice work, but he did a bunch of other characters as well.
Well, that's what he does, is like voicing a bajillion characters across all voice space time.
Yep. And so he's been in Clone Wars and Rebels and Bad Batch and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a great voice actor.
Yeah.
It was a little surprising to me that he does all of the Bad Batch, since unlike the other clones, they all do have more distinct voices, but he's got enough of a range to make it work.
Yeah.
He's got a future in the industry, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
Very talented voice actor. I was also surprised when I realized that it was all just one dude doing all these different voices, because I think like there's just a lot of really good attention to detail of making sure that they are all their own individual characters.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think the show has done a decent job of characterizing them so far. It just, to me, sort of around episode 3 or 4 fell into the rhythm that The Mandalorian did, where nothing really happened. There's like some action stuff, and I get that this is more of a kids show, even if it's you know, a little darker, like tonally similar to the end of The Clone Wars, but it's still made for kids. So like I get that they have to do like all the action scenes and the kind of goofy stuff from time to time, and that stuff doesn't really bother me in this context. But I just felt like there was such a promise in the first episode, the oversized episode, and then the second episode, of really getting to see what the galaxy was like post Clone Wars, which we in the current canon haven't gotten to see what it's like directly afterwards. So I was really excited about that promise, and it seems like that's not, and thus far that hasn't really been the case since the third episode. It's just been a lot of sort of one-off stories, Omega learning a moral lesson, you know.
and
it's good. Like it's good stuff. It's enjoyable enough. And they like have, you know, they've done enough that with the characters and with Omega that it feels like there is some degree of development between episodes. Like, it's not like, when I say nothing's happening, that's a little reductive. Obviously, but
even compared to something like Clone Wars, where like there were so many different arcs and stories to tell, and it very rarely felt like it was filler. I mean, there were some week episodes and week stuff going on, but it just seems like, okay, we have 18 episodes instead of maybe, like, I would have been happier if they made less episodes but had paced them better so far, because I feel like we are going to get that kind of exploration a bit more, but they really are trying to spread it out.
We did get the baby rancor, which was pretty cool.
True.
I liked that.
Oh, yeah. Gwen came in the room briefly during that episode and was like, oh, it's a little baby rancor.
It's so, the little baby rancor.
Well, I mean, you know, we didn't really have very much context for a lot of this stuff, especially, like,
sure.
I mean, you know, walking in for a fraction of an episode. But, yeah I did, like... There was definitely the feeling while I was watching it of there's definitely stuff that I'm missing because I don't have all the context. But, like, I don't know. I was still able to enjoy the whole experience. I was never bored. So, you know.
I think it's a pretty decent jumping on point. I mean, you just need to know what happens in Revenge of the Sith, right?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, there's a bunch of stuff that, like, if you knew who the Padawan was in the first episode, it's just, like, that's cool, but it's not...
Yeah,
it's not plot changing. I mean, maybe I was hoping that Saw Gerrera would be more of a character, and he's like a long time showed up in Clone Wars Rebels, and
I've heard that name before for sure.
Yeah, he's in Rogue One, so you probably
that was it. I immediately remembered as soon as he said that.
Yeah, and I thought he would, you know, play a bigger role, but then did not, unfortunately. But you know, it does. In the same way that Rebels was like, you didn't really need to watch Clone Wars to get into Rebels. I feel like they've done a good job with this, having a pretty clean cut from Clone Wars.
Yeah.
It's neat. I'm enjoying it. I wish we got another season of Clone Wars, but, you know, whatever. Can't have everything.
Unforge.
Yeah. Well... did anybody else come with topics prepared? Things to discuss?
Chad?
Not really. I mean...
Wow.
Did we mention that I watched Luca? I don't remember if that
Yeah,
was.
You talked about it. Chad, you watched Luca now too, right?
I watched
it
first.
You watched it before I did.
He watched it.
That's why I wanted to make sure that I had mentioned it.
I'm misremembering. You didn't mention it then.
No, I mentioned it because I watched it after Chad watched it.
Right, okay.
And I thought it was cute. It was very good. I'd recommend watching it if you have Disney Plus.
I realized it was about Italians and decided it wasn't for me.
No, that's fair. You got to know yourself. It's very,
yeah.
Very
the movie is about knowing yourself, as all fucking
movies are.
Pixar Disney movies are.
Yeah.
It's not, I guess maybe it's not entirely about knowing yourself, but, you know, it's there.
Yay.
Knowing the shame of being an Italian.
It's the gayest not gay movie I've seen in a while.
Oh, it's a Disney movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, just like, if they were not trying to kind of like slip in a gay acceptance allegory, I feel like they did a very bad job. Like, this is like there's this whole speech at the end of the movie where, like, talking about, like, the serpent, the sea serpent boy, like, it, some may never accept him, but he's very good at finding the ones who do. And you see him, like, with his friends and shit. And it's like, okay.
I see what you're doing. Do you see what you're doing?
I don't think they do. Or if they don't, they're just lying, which is also a distinct possibility.
I had a decent week. Donald Rumsfeld died. That was cool.
Yeah, that was great.
who's Mr. Rumslide?
Do you not know? Donald Rumsfeld was George W. Bush's Secretary of Defense. So oversaw the Pentagon during the invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan. Was one of the biggest partisans for those wars. I mean, you kind of hate to see him, you know, dying peacefully in his 80s as opposed to being
eaten,
doing some redacted. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So some things that I would say if I wasn't currently applying for jobs.
It would help if you stopped putting this show on your resume.
Yeah, that's probably a good point.
You please tell me you did not do that again.
All right, I'm gonna have to edit this week instead of just flopping.
You're like, this is maybe my dream job. Please tell me you did not put this fucking podcast on your resume for your goddamn dream job.
No. I took it off. I included that I have experience when under the like section where I write about We the Nerdy, like I included that, like, you know, when I was at We the Nerdy, I did a podcast.
Okay.
No implication that it still exists.
That was smart because it's not on that site anymore. So you can tell them it's not on that site anymore. If they ask you about it.
They can probably find the post just without the audio. So I can just be like, yeah, no. It's
Admittedly, if they Google your name and type in the word podcast after it, this will probably come up.
For a while, the one that popped up when you Googled my name was, I don't know which one. I think it might have been the Aquaman porn one. Or it was something like that. But it was like the last thing on the first page when you search my name, first name, last name.
Oh, yeah. Like, the first thing that comes up when you search Jean-Luc Botville podcast is thecomicspodcast.com.
So, you know what? The site doesn't work right now, though, so that's fine.
It is true.
Yeah. It doesn't work.
Huge.
The redirects
outplayed. Outmaneuvered it every second.
It worked fine.
Yeah. I'll wait a couple weeks to fix that.
If you scroll down far enough, you can see like We the Nerdy and then your letterboxed profile, but that's about it.
Yep.
Oh, I hope no one finds that too. I'll learn you have shit taste in movies.
Oh, well, I don't know. So this job is actually a movies job. So I did include my letterbox.
How was
profile.
Your how was the interview?
It was good. My first interview on Friday went really well. Like that
oh,
one.
Oh shit! This is your second interview. That's good.
Yeah. Nice. This was my second interview. So the first interview went super well, or I thought it went super well. And then this interview and in this one was a little bit more buttoned up, a lot more like specifically talking about qualifications and what the job is like and that stuff. And I don't know. I always like, I feel like I did okay, but I always feel like in those contexts, I have a much harder time actually selling myself than I do when I'm just sort of like having a conversation about the position and why I would like the position, like generally talking about some of my experiences.
Right.
But you know, having to delve into specifics and stuff is a lot tougher, and it was a lot more like buttoned up and formal. So I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it goes either way, I guess. Like if it goes well, it goes well. It sort of sucks that if it goes well, it would mean that I signed a lease and have to figure out a way to worm my way out of it.
Where did you know that?
It's back in Michigan.
So bleep it
yeah, but it's where I've been for the. It's where I'm from in Michigan. So,
am I still a reference?
Yeah.
Cool.
Nice.
You might get a call.
I call from a celebrity.
Well, yes, because my first round interview was with.
What? That one probably needs to be bleeped.
You should probably bleep that out too.
Yes. Yes,
can you guys just shut the fuck up, please?
This is why This is why you need to have a soundboard so that you can just like.
That's cool. I can't really say anything else, but.
Yeah, no, it was really cool. People might be able to put the context clues together, but it was really good. I mean, he was very complimentary about my cover letter and my resume. So, if nothing else, I will have had that, you know, experience, in the phone call.
That's rad.
You can put that in your Tinder profile.
I don't know. Get the job first before you throw it into.
Although I will say, as soon as I got back to DC, I fucking reinstalled that piece. So
nice.
We're back in the game, baby.
Well, it's gonna be funny because you're gonna like connect with like the love of your life, and then you're gonna get the job in DC, and then it's gonna be one of those classic romantic comedy things of like.
Well, I have the job in DC.
Well, no, then you get the job in Michigan, and you're going to be like, right. Oh, no, I have to leave. And then it's going to be...
Alex, we know that won't happen.
Julia Roberts is going to play you, so...
It's a good thing the love of my life is Magic the Gathering, so...
Damn. There you go.
It's not a problem.
Please don't tell Mr. Person that. Actually, maybe you do. Maybe
I mentioned it. I mentioned in my second round, they asked like what I do for fun, and I was like, all the things I do for fun are embarrassing. I play video games, Magic the Gathering... and build Lego sets.
Hell yeah.
I don't know. They responded well to the part where I said I build Lego sets. I don't think they knew what Magic the Gathering was.
I can't believe you didn't bring up your Star Wars porn. Why am I the only one that ever brings up your Star Wars porn, Jean-Luc?
I don't think that... We did have a conversation about Star Wars in the interview. Was it
porn related?
No.
I feel like bringing up porn in an interview is like an HR violation and you're not even working there yet.
Call the power move, Emily.
Yeah.
Think about it though. If you have an HR violation, only people who work there can get one. So
exactly.
It's a loophole.
Yeah, we're giving you an HR violation. So does this mean I got the job?
You start on Monday. Well, that's very exciting.
But yeah, put good vibes into the universe for me.
Part of me is just like, why would he be the one doing the interview? But I'm guessing it's very like whatever. It's very related to whatever he's doing it. But
I can give you guys more context when we're done recording.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah.
I got my second vaccine dose.
Hell yeah, brother! Hell we're all fully vaxxed now, right?
Yay!
Yeah.
So, which means we can meet up. But the borders won't let us, but that's okay. You guys can. You can Skype me in. It'll be really sad.
We can get one of those iPads that moves around with the wheels.
Oh, yes.
Can Canadians not cross the American border yet?
No siree.
Canadian border is still closed.
Oh, huh.
Yeah. But I got my vaccine, and then that night I decided to watch Sweet Tooth, and I was like, oh, they're really leaning heavily into this COVID-19 thing, huh?
Yeah, remember what I said about that?
Yep. It was very accurate. Also, yeah, I'm like three episodes in so far, and
what do you think?
I'm really enjoying the adaptation. I love the relationship between Big Man and Sweet Tooth is so good. It's so good. It is the classic, like, I don't want you here, but I guess you're here, so I'm gonna make the most of it. And it's just like really cute. Also, the scene where you see Big Man sort of unleashed and you see like his fighting prowess. I mean, it is very backgroundy, but I thought those were the really cool.
Dude,
moments.
It was so I just really liked the way it was shot. Like, it was just loved it. It was really good.
Yeah, it's like you don't see a lot of it, and like normally that'd be a bad thing, but like it kind of added to it.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah, I'm having a really, really lovely time with the show.
Excellent. I still have not read Sweet Tooth: The Return, but I will soon.
Nice.
I went shopping for glasses, and that was fucking miserable.
Can you see?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's a lie, Chad. You need glasses. Sorry.
I have. I've had this current pair for like 6 or 7 years now, and. The lenses are so scuffed up in parts that my vision's not worse, but like apparently it is affecting my vision because my last eye exam were like, oh, I think things have gotten worse, and then they took them off. They're like, oh no, your glasses just suck. You should get a new pair of glasses. And it turns out I have very thin frames. They're small. because that's what I like. And that's not the style anymore. And so trying to find a pair of glasses that didn't make me hate my face more than normal took a couple fucking hours all told.
Damn.
I went to multiple stores, and then my insurance got hung up because, God forbid, the American medical system isn't a total shit show in every facet of itself. But I don't know why things can't just be fucking easy. Like, Christ, I took off early from work because it was Friday, and I had worked a really long day on Tuesday because I went on a business trip, but we were in the car for 6 goddamn hours. Oof. And I'm like, okay, well, how long can it take to buy some glasses? I'll take some pictures. I'll send them to Emily. My phone immediately died as I walked in the store, so that didn't happen. I was like, I guess I got to rely on my own intuition. Oh, dear. how hard can this be, though? I know what I want, and nope.
Do you know what you want, Chad?
Sometimes. Did you get your glasses? Yeah, I'll pick them up on Tuesday.
Nice. Nice. And now you're gonna eat. You got your purple hair dyed. You got your glasses.
I did try on some purple glasses. They were a little too much. I ended up not going with them.
Ah.
But I gave it the old college try.
Nice.
Sometimes there's a need for a little subtlety.
Yeah, I feel like I don't want to bank around having purple on my face literally every day.
Like, yeah.
Only when I dye my hair and accidentally get it on my face because I don't use gloves. I wrap my hand in saran wrap and just tape
Chad,
it down.
Please,
oh my
gosh, just get some gloves. They are not expensive.
When we come to your place, you know, once we do, I'm down to get my hair dyed purple too. We can all saran wrap our heads and just like be purple heads.
You guys have fun with that.
Yeah, Jean-Luc's gonna leave.
John,
it's like a mitten, but made out of plastic.
Damn. Well,
I mean, I'm not dyeing my hair purple. I've already got my color set.
The issue with Jean-Luc, though, is that like he's just got too much hair. Like I feel like
we yeah.
have to spend too much money for it.
A lot of hair.
When I first dyed my hair, it was very long, and it took a very long time to dye it. And I know that Jean-Luc's is particularly thick, which means that it would take like it would take so long.
The thing that I've considered doing is just putting it up in a bun or something and just dyeing that. The problem is that that would look really bad when I was wearing it down.
No, it wouldn't. Like,
really?
Yeah.
If I like dyed the bun, it would just like look like the middle of my hair was was that color.
I mean, you could just dye like the
if it were a ponytail, maybe.
You could dye like the bottom part of your hair, and then when you put it up in a bun, it would be all that color. So,
well, no, because the bottom gets wrapped in. Like, the bottom isn't the part on the outside.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I've gained a lot of expertise in buns.
Damn. He's a bun master.
Yeah.
That's a chain of bread near where
we are at 35 like minutes if we want to transition to comic master. Books, by the way.
No.
I mean, we don't have to.
No, we can. Sorry, it was just...
Jean-Luc didn't read any. We can just keep talking about hair and glasses and shitty Star Wars things.
If there were comics that you guys want to talk about, I don't want to preclude you from talking about
Beta
comics.
Ray
I
Bill.
Just
Beta
really
Ray
didn't
Ray
have
Bill.
Time for it this week.
That's true. Beta Ray Bill was a comic that I read.
And?
I have one question.
Yes.
Is he going to fuck the ship?
Hell yeah, brother.
Maybe.
Hell yeah, brother.
He might. But I feel like, yeah, you know what? No,
is
he probably will.
Is Did this comic... I mean, just, I like, okay, I'm not gonna lie, like, this isn't the first time I've thought about it. It's just, like, I didn't...
Are you, like, thinking about this all the time?
No.
Him fucking his shit?
What I meant... is more like this is not the first time I've considered that the comic is being a little shippy with them. I just I didn't do that on purpose. But it just feels like it ramped it up in this issue, and I just was wondering if everyone else was on the same page of is he gonna fuck his spaceship?
I mean, like, it was there.
Dude, that man wants to fuck his spaceship.
Like
for him.
Like, it's
and that spaceship wants to fuck him back.
Well, he doesn't really know that he wants to fuck her. I mean, it or spaceship. Anyway,
her.
Is it a her?
I think they have definitely girl coded the spaceship.
Yeah. But I mean, like, it's clear that it's like, oh, the ship knows everything about him, and the ship finds Beta Ray, beautiful. And it's like, aw.
See, I can't tell if the Shipso standing for his mother, though, either. And so it's like, so does he want to fuck his mother?
Well, you guys have ruined Beta Ray Bill for me. It's wonderful.
Okay, great. Well, I didn't say that. I do not co-sign Chad's statement. I think that the beautiful love between this horseman and his ship is a treasure. And
it's like all those pictures of dragons fucking cars.
I'm reading it right now, and there's a scene where she pulls an umbilical cord out of her stomach. This book is not subtle in its metaphors.
So, other than the will they, won't they, I thought this was a really good issue that continued the whole, like, man, Beta Ray Bill is sad that he's a horseman, and he's had some really sad times, but then it's just like, man, Daniel Warren Johnson's art's so good, and there's a double page spread of like ships and like explosions, and it's just like, man, Daniel Warren Johnson, you sir can draw.
It's real good.
There was when he's going through his memories and he like sees himself like basically being mutilated and turned into this monster so he can save his people. Like, that was a pretty rough, like, you know, grotesque but also emotionally heavy scene. Like, there's some really, really good stuff in here when you ignore the fact that he wants to fuck his mother, who's a spaceship.
He wants to fuck his mother? Shit?
Oh my god, is this Evangelion? Okay, anyway.
Oh, I'm glad we've ruined things.
It's good.
Did you guys read Godzilla Rivals?
Fuck, no. It wasn't on the list and I forgot. But tell me why I should have read it.
It was kind of fun. So the Godzilla is fighting some monster throughout the whole thing, and this brother and sister are trying to escape. The sister's hurt. Brother's trying to take her to a hospital, but the city's pretty fucked up. You know, there's not a lot of hospital left. And he's telling everybody that, oh, she's the scientist that, like, knows how to solve the problems, though. Like, she's that scientist. Which turns out to be a lie. She was the intern for that scientist. That scientist is super dead. And he's making all these, like, really questionable decisions because he's trying to save his sister. And then his sister ends up making some fairly questionable decisions to try and save the day. And there's this weird relationship that they have, and like this concept of like, what are you willing to sacrifice for the greater good versus personal good? Like, there's actually some interesting themes going on in this first issue. It's very like cartoony drawn, but it had way more depth than I thought it would. And some of like the kaiju violence is pretty cool, despite it not, you know, it's nowhere near something like what Daniel Warren Johnson would do, or that other Image book that we stopped reading, but had cool kaiju art. But I think the main cast of characters we got, or at least these two, I'm curious to see what's going to happen with them, because this is a very strong first issue as far as keeping me going and people doing some shady shit for specific reasons that I've found compelling.
Nice.
Cool.
I'll have to give it a read.
And then that Texas Blood's out again. I wasn't expecting another arc of this, but I'm kind of glad it's back.
Yeah.
Well, they said it was returning at the end of the last arc. They're coming back to do more. I didn't read it, but...
It's some True Detective shit, like Chad said in our group chat. That's definitely the direction that we're headed in. I haven't actually watched season one of True Detective, or season two, but importantly, season one.
I don't think you would like it very much.
Really? My wife likes it a lot, and I just have never...
It checks out to me that Gwen would like it, but I don't think that you would be super into it. Maybe. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but...
But yeah, I'm at least familiar with, like, the premise and a lot of the, like, aesthetic. So I did, even though Chad already said that, I did pick up on that, and, you know, like, I'm here for it. Like, I liked the first arc of that Texas Blood, and this is different enough from the first arc that I'm, you know, and I'm willing to give it another go.
I'm hoping it doesn't lean into the supernatural at all, and it maybe hints at, and then it turns out there isn't any, because, like, that's kind of the thing with True Detective, is it is just, like, some cult shit and like a crazy dude, but it's all very grounded in reality. Yeah. With, I know Image comic books are like, hey, what if the monster was real? What if there's a demon in the end, right? Like, I don't want it to do that. I really like the nature of this comic and the way it's like portraying Texas, even though I've never been to Texas and don't know if it's accurate or not.
One of the things I like most about That Texas Blood as a series is how grounded it is. So it would be a little disappointing to see it lean too heavily into like actual supernatural.
I don't think it will, but I find it hard to ignore the possibility with anything published by Image.
Sure.
But yeah, That Texas Blood was cool. It's interesting too. I feel like there's, you know, True Detective was very successful. I think it was a very well-told that story as far as, hey, cops investigating cult shit. And then every time I see that, I'm like, oh, it's like True Detective, but probably not as good. And I can't imagine that was the first show to ever do that, but man, did it do it well enough to kind of like cement itself as like the de facto, this is the story archetype.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, I mean, there have been other, like, you know, cops investigate supernatural shit or whatever, but like True Detective had its own specific like aesthetic take on that, and it's definitely being invoked here.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, I mean, you know, you've got other stuff like that, like Twin Peaks or whatever, that is very different, and I think that's also probably largely just based on the setting.
Sure. I've never seen Twin Peaks.
I won't get into it. I have a lot. If I start talking about Twin Peaks, that'll be this whole episode. So I'm just going to stop. But suffice to say, I have a lot of opinions.
Yeah. And a lot of people who are like, man, it's amazing. But that I haven't heard people saying bad things about it. But I also like, I feel like if you don't like Twin Peaks, you don't really talk about it that much, because then the people who are really into it will come for you.
The only Twin Peaks I know of are 9/11.
Yay. We're keeping that one, folks. Well, okay, also, my waveform for my voice has two very similar, like, structures right now. They're leaving the page now, but that was...
Nice.
Wow. You know what? Sometimes life imitates art.
There you go.
Sometimes your voice makes the towers.
You guys, did you guys read the new Captain America thing?
Yeah.
Fucking sucked, right?
I liked the first couple of pages where he was all like, man, really? America. Well, he starts off and he's like, man, America's shit. But then he's like, no, it's not. And we just like, I just don't like how people kill each other. But he doesn't really like, Captain America's not like, it's bad that we're killing people in other countries. He's like, man, I hate when we kill people in other countries. But it's something we gotta do. And then they kind of do the scene. Have you guys all seen the Dark Knight, the Christian Bale one?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Jared Leto, and he does the "I'm not wearing hockey pants" scene, because that's what Captain America does here, where someone dresses up as Captain America, except it's not as good as the "I'm not wearing hockey pants" scene.
I don't remember that movie. It's been a while.
It's the one where there's a bunch of people dressing up as Batman.
Yeah, oh. It's like the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, and then like. You know, anyway, they get hurt and Batman ties them up and ties up the bad guys. And they're like, what's the difference between us and you, Batman? He's like, I'm not wearing hockey pants. And then he drives away in his $1 billion vehicle, right? And this one had that. So, yeah, I mean, I like the first couple of pages. And then
my issue with the first, like, 10 pages is the book was sort of vomiting its themes at you in case you didn't understand them when they were put into practice later. Like the nature of Captain America as a symbol and using different iconography to like spread a message and, you know, damaging symbols or building up symbols. And it's like, I get it. I'm not an idiot. I know how things work and how stories are told. Like, you don't have to literally spend half your comic. Oh, now he's being punched and kicked by some random dude that broke into his house because it's a fucking comic book and God forbid.
Yeah. It was then all monologue to start.
Yeah. The last like handful of pages were fine. The guy he's teamed up with, who I don't remember his name.
Is that Sam?
Yeah. Who keeps saying, like, you know, he's like, well, it'll be like 3-1 because I'm like 2 Captain Americas. And then by the end, he's like, it's like 50-1 because I'm really more like 49 of you. Like, that was fun. I liked, like, their banter. It was very Marvel banter, but it was, I think, done well enough.
Yeah.
But getting to that point was a chore, and I don't think the writing or artwork was good enough to really warrant getting to that point.
Was really rough for me.
Yeah. It's just so weird when you're like, oh, this is one of the big two comics, and it looks so boring, and like the line work and some of the proportions are kind of weird, and like Captain America was like really thick and just chunky. Like, he
yeah it it kind of reminded me a lot of that Rob Liefeld famous piece where he, like, his chest is like just gigantic and the rest of his body is like kind of weird. Like it just felt off, and it's remarkable that Marvel publishes something like Beta Ray Bill in the same week that they published something like Captain America. Just looking at the art, and it's like, wow, it's like this medium has so much potential when to do really cool things. And you know, sometimes it's just like, oh, it's a job, let me finish it, which is also fair. Like, I don't think comic artists are getting paid enough to really like go all the way out or light the world on fire every single time, but I do prefer it when they do. So
for sure.
You know, I put this on the list because I thought that it was Alex Ross interiors, and that was the only reason I had any interest in it. And so I apologize for not realizing that it's just Alex Ross covers.
Got you with the cover again.
It's my bad.
It is a classic Alex Ross move too.
Yeah, it is. I mean, yes, I don't think he's on it. I was surprised but the site that I looked at had him credited as the interior artist. So
comics will break your heart, kid.
Yep. They will. They have.
But you know what didn't break my heart this week?
What?
Department of Truth number 10.
Yeah.
They did some cool stuff.
The only thing I didn't like about this book is that I had to fucking read a bunch of it. Like,
oh, that was my favorite
this
part.
This is a comic book. I signed up for pictures and words, and I did not sign up to read a bunch of handwritten paper in the middle of my comic book, even though I did like this issue a lot. So, you know, I guess you got me.
Well played, James. Yeah, that was my favorite part.
Well played, James Tinian.
When it was like the handwritten notes by like the father to the son. And I love when comics, like, yes, that is very novelty, but I love it when they infuse it in like after death when they had those prose moments and everything like that. So it was cool. And also just seeing like the hand scribbled notes make sense when you're talking about like people who are like chasing Bigfoot and believe in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I get it. You signed up for a comic book. And
I did like this issue. I liked the sort of shift into like what cryptids are in the context of Department of Truth, and I like the concept of cryptids in general, so this was kind of fun, and excited to see where this goes.
I also like that we're taking just like a small diversion to go hunt Sasquatch for a couple issues, and then like the one character is like, he shows up in loafers in a suit, and he's like, you didn't, I assumed, you know, hunting was a joke. Like, you know, it just like the idea of like, of course it's not, but also I can see why you would assume that, because why would they have you be doing this? I don't know. The play with this character being like new to this and this being just so weird. It's like, hey, guess what? Today we're going to go kill Bigfoot. I don't know. It's so fucking fun. It is delightful.
Yeah. And it's interesting because this book is very serious at times. Like, the episode about like the school shooting, it's like so dark and so goes in a really, really serious direction. And this one definitely has the serious moments, like the stuff with the father and his son and sort of the cross generational effect that it has. And it's like this hunt for Bigfoot is like has ripped apart this family and everything, is, you know, it definitely has that emotional punch, but it's such a goofy book, this issue. It's great.
Yeah, it's one of those, because like the hunt for Bigfoot ruining this family is really like a stand-in for like QAnon and all the other conspiracy theories going around that are tearing families apart, because of course they are. Yeah. So yeah, it really felt like there was a big emotional weight to that letter and what was going on, but also just the package of like the two main characters talking and then meeting that lady who's like, oh yeah, I'm the hunter for the Department of Truth. I go fucking kill angels and demons and aliens and Bigfoots and stuff.
Dan Brown, like, no.
it was really good.
Yeah.
Did you guys go through Two Moons?
No.
I haven't been reading Two Moons. I didn't really like it to start with, so.
This issue was really rough. I think this might be the last one in the arc. It did what I think maybe the first issue did, where there's like a lot of shit crammed into a small amount of space, and it's really hard to follow at points, and I think characters kind of make some very immediate leaps in logic to move the plot along, because normally you'd be like, this doesn't make any sense, or why is that guy out of jail now? What's going on? And it's sort of just like, no, we have to just buy this stuff and get along with it, and then the big action scene's cool, but it feels like it takes them long enough. Like, they go out to load up these cannons to shoot iron shrapnel at the monsters to kill them. The monsters are just, like, watching them do it. And it's like, I know, you can't, like, load those things that fast. Like, fucking stop them. Charge at them and kill them before they shoot the cannons. I don't know. There's some really weird, like, inconsistencies in this that took away from the good bits. Because there was some good bits. It wasn't, like, a terrible issue or anything. But it felt like the weakest parts of this comic were kind of on full display.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Well, was there anything else that you guys read this week?
I read Made in Korea number 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear about this one because this was kind of a promising first issue. A month ago.
I liked this issue.
Tell me about it.
I mean, it's about, like, the little robot girl going to school, and also there's, like, the B plot of the programmer guy who's trying to track her down because he's the one who put his, like, whatever special programming in her before she was sent out. And I don't know, like, some of it feels a little, like, cliche, maybe? That's not exactly the feel. Like, that's
paint
not the
by
word.
Numbers, maybe?
It feels a little expected, I guess. Like, but I didn't dislike it, and I think that the little robot girl is cute, and I'm way more interested in the stuff that they teased about, like, her, like, making friends with those other kids from her school and being a little delinquent. I thought that was cute.
I'm under the impression that those are like she, because they said, like, schools don't really exist. I think she's in something kind of resembling a college or a high school or something, because everyone's quite a bit older, and like, she's going through those paint by numbers things. She wants to fit in, she wants to make friends. She clearly doesn't. She's really smart because she's a robot and can just, like, memorize books. And then she's The people bullying her at the beginning are like, hey, you should join our club. We'll actually be nice to you. And then you find out they're, like, making guns.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know what that's about. I'm a little worried, but I like the idea of her making friends with some delinquents.
Yeah.
Are the other kids not robots?
No, I don't think so.
Put her in a school for, like, human children, and
she's a thirst for knowledge.
They seem to be much older.
Yeah, and it feels to me like those delinquent kids are just, like, using her,
they're up to no good.
Because otherwise, like, there's no real reason for them to suddenly be like, we're your friend, unless they just felt bad for her, but it's not conveyed, like, in a clear way
it's not.
It feels a little, not like slice of life-y, but like you said, where it's like paint by numbers, where like the programmer shows up at the house, right? And it's like, oh, like this is going to be a big moment or something. And then the mom's just like, hey, show me the ID. And he's like, I don't have ID. And he's like, okay, well, I'm going to call the cops unless you leave. And then he leaves and it's like, okay, he's gone. It's like, there's, like, tension and then it's, like, gone, and she's bullied and then she's accepted. And then the guns at the end are kind of interesting. So, like, I'm interested to see where this goes and everything, but I'm not quite sure where it's going to go.
That's the thing, because there's a very slow burn aspect to the way the story is being told. It's going to come to a head somewhere. Like, the programmer is kind of losing his mind already, as far as, like, he let his job performance slip to the point where he got fired. He's a mess. Like, he's going to get worse.
Yeah.
And he's going to come back probably with some kind of weapon or something. And it's just a matter of when and then kind of how. And so there is still, like, to me, like, a lot of tension here, because, like, all this stuff is building to something. I just don't know if we're going to get that something for at least, like, you know, issue 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But I do like the world, and I do like the girl robot character. And I think it's interesting, the idea that, like, you know, people who can't have kids having robot kids, and this one's, like, really special. And then there was a bit of talk about, like, oh, but, like, what if the robots take over and stuff like that? So, yeah, I'm interested to see where this goes, what this main sort of thesis, I guess, is of it.
For sure.
Did anyone else read Parasomnia?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I liked this first issue.
I super did not.
I felt like it had kind of an interesting concept, but I just didn't really feel like I knew what was going on most of the time, and I felt like I understood more about what I was supposed to have gotten once I got to the end and there was like a promo for the book to tease for the next issue or whatever, which gave me a little blurb of like what the book was supposed to be.
So I don't know. I read a lot of comics this week. What was this one? Cause I'm pretty sure I read it, but
it was like the old man who's like, I guess like homeless or something. But then also there's like parallel world with like a guy that looks like he's in Bloodborne a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't really remember much of what happened because, as I said, it was kind of hard to follow.
Yeah, they did a thing. It's like this, like it opens up and it's this homeless man. He's being like beat up and it's like, okay. And then it cuts to this like dream world. So yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the real world where the homeless man's getting beat up. And then the dream world is the dream that the kid in a coma is having.
Sure. Something like that.
But the homeless man's looking for the kid in a coma for some reason. Or yeah. Maybe he's not. Maybe I misread that.
I don't know. Like I said, I don't remember anything about this book because it was weird and hard to follow.
Yay.
I also, once it became apparent that like this wasn't two separate worlds that were going to interconnect like a Stephen King thing, and it was like, oh, kid in a coma, one of these worlds is fake, I super don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. It just wasn't very good, but I felt like since it was a number one. I'm guessing
the fantasy world's the fake one, just because like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Colin Bunn is the writer, and I recognize her name, and I don't remember why.
I think it was
that comic. I want to say it was called The Descent, but I think that I'm pretty sure that's not the title. But it was the sort of like alien-esque comic about those military guys who go into a big cave and find like facehuggers. We read like the first maybe three or four issues, and I think we like slowly dropped off one at a time. He wrote that other book. What?
Harrow Country? Is that the one we read?
No, it's not Harrow County. And then there was that other book about that other horror book where they go to the island. I'm trying to look it up right now. I should have.
Cold Spots? Regression?
Cold Spots was one we read, yes.
Yeah, I remember that one.
He's someone who, for me, is a...
Unearth. That's the name of the... That was the name of the other one. And Regression. I think we read some of Regression as well.
He sometimes has cool concepts, but I feel like he's like a 6.5 writer most of the time.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I don't know if I've ever read anything by Colin Bunn that I'm like, wow, this is good. This is enjoyable the whole way through or anything, but... Yeah.
He wrote Six Gun Gorilla, right? Back in the day. It was a while ago, but I enjoyed that when it came out.
It's a gorilla. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. As a gorilla with six guns.
That's pretty cool.
I would read something with like about a gorilla with guns. That sounds pretty fun.
Okay, no, that wasn't actually written by Cullen Bunn. I don't know why.
You
should still read it. It's pretty good. I would recommend it.
We are at an hour.
I know we're at an hour. I have a gift for you guys as a 5-year anniversary present, but I have to go get it. So it'll take just a second, but I'll be right back, okay?
Yeah,
you have to go get it.
How was your ice cream last week?
Oh yeah, I was gonna talk about ice cream. I got a new Ben and Jerry's flavor, the tiramisu, but it's got like the this like brownie like concrete shit over the top you got to break through. It's like this thick chocolate crust on it. And yeah,
it's one of the top line. Right?
Yeah, good God, is it good? I love it so much. I'm almost done with it. I've been eating it really slow, which is how I usually eat Ben & Jerry's. But it's one of those, like, there's so much different stuff in there because it's got fudge. It's got, like, different flavors of ice cream. It's got, like, cookie chunks or something, like, or fudge chunks. Like, it's one of those where Everything is like mixed together to a point where it's its own flavor. Like when you're eating a burrito and it's got all that stuff in it, you're like, this tastes like burrito, even though there's like 30 things in it. It just all mixes together.
It's greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah. And so it's just like this really like bold, intense level of like sugary ice cream. Everything in it is good. And you're just like, man, I am excited to eat more of this. Like this, and the texture is good because there's so much different stuff in there. It's like syrupy stuff and all whatever. Right. It reminds me like of fish food, or like everything but the, you know, those two flavors that are also very like over the top and just you feel like you're eating a lot, but it's overwhelming in a good way kind of thing.
Right.
If I were going to rate it, I'd probably give it like a 9 or a 10. Like it is definitely like a flavor I want to go back to. Possibly a new favorite Ben & Jerry's. I don't know. I have to get fish food again because that was my current favorite flavor. So
wow.
Yeah, very, very excited to finish that off and eventually buy more.
Damn.
Nice. Yeah, I had a couple of those. I don't know if I ever had the tiramisu flavor, but I definitely had a couple of the tops. I think I had the chocolate caramel cookie dough and the salted caramel brownie. And that topped shit is just, it's just fantastic.
What's it called, Chad?
Tiramisu.
Good shit.
Well, can't go wrong with Ben & Jerry's.
It's hard to go wrong, except when it comes to their stance on, you know, the Palestinian people's right to self-determination.
Was that a Ben choice or a Jerry choice?
I think they're both in on it, but in terms of ice cream, you can't go wrong. That's for sure.
Yay.
What a dystopian hell we live in. Where like,
I know, right?
Brands have thoughts. I hate that on sentence. You know, politics and shit, like, and I it's one of those things where like, but then Target actually had like, you know, the Pride Month, they had all that rainbow stuff, and like, not, and some of it was actually decent as far as like looking at it. It's like, okay, this doesn't all make me cringe, and like, you don't see a lot of some of the representation they had, you don't see a lot of that in clothes unless you like are on Etsy and sort of like, oh, I can go get like an Ace Pride shirt at Target is, I don't know, kind of a big deal, but also it relies on this giant corporation to make money off it and to, you know, as soon as Pride Month's over, they're going to take the rainbow flag down from the social media. And like, it's so performative too. Like, God, we live in just such a fucking nightmare hellscape of capitalism.
Yeah, it's really, and it really sucks to like see things and be like, I want to enjoy this. And then just not even like, saying even scratch the surface is just like is doing a disservice, but like just like think about it for 2 seconds and be like, oh well, this actually sucks. And so you have to sort of figure out, you know, the best way to walk that line between this shit sucks, but also I enjoy this shit, you know.
I'm back.
Welcome. Hi, back.
For your 5-year anniversary, I've gotten you an ice cream review.
Hell yes. We're gonna have two on this show. Let's fucking go.
I made this. It is what's called Nice Cream because it is a banana base, like banana and milk frozen. It's basically like a very thick smoothie that you freeze and then eat like ice cream. I had some bananas that were going to go bad, so I needed to find something to do with them. So I stuck them in my freezer and I made Nice Cream. And
are you trying it for the first time here?
Yes, and I put some semi-sweet chocolate chips on top because I thought that would be fun, and I'm going to try it and give you a review.
Yay!
It's good. I mean, you know, if you don't like bananas, like, this is probably not the dessert for you, but I do like bananas.
I fucking hate bananas.
Really?
Yeah, I mean,
you and me both, Chad. You and me both.
Damn.
You can use, like, you can make, like, chocolate flavor that probably, with, like, the cocoa powder, it probably helps cover up the banana taste. But, like, this is just sort of plain and with some chocolate on it. And I like it. It's good.
Yay.
What's the texture like? Is it textured like ice cream? Or?
Honestly, yeah. Like, it feels like ice cream. Like, kind of like soft ice cream.
Nice.
Can't believe it's not ice cream.
That's pretty sick.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time we've had homemade ice cream, I think.
I think I was going to say it's the first show we've had two ice creams, but that's a lie.
That's probably a lie. We've probably... Emily, while you were gone, Chad did an ice cream review as well.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to listen to the episode to hear that.
Yeah. I think that's probably not the first time we've had two. I think we've had episodes, I think, where we've had even three, you know?
Wow.
How was the IKEA ice cream?
Oh, the IKEA ice cream fucking banged. I realized actually that it's not actually ice cream, it's frozen yogurt.
But it's so good.
And I usually hate frozen yogurt, but this was a little bit tart, which I didn't really remember from the last time I had IKEA ice cream, which admittedly was like probably a decade ago at this point. So it had a tartness to it that I wasn't really expecting, but it was actually really good. It was really the first time I've ever, you know, it's going to sound shitty, but like the IKEA ice cream is the first time I've had frozen yogurt that I didn't feel like was disgusting.
Me too.
But I generally really hate frozen yogurt, and this was really good.
It's like playing with Mega Bloks when you have Lego right there, and it's like, well,
but this is like, you know, but this is like Mega Bloks made some Halo sets, you know, that's the...
Right. It's like, well, that's cool. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. This is like it's like the Halo Mega Bloks of ice cream.
Damn. Have you ever been to Culver's, anybody?
Yeah.
I've heard of Culver's.
I'm from the Midwest, Chad.
I know, but I don't know how it reached they have. But I know, like, because they have frozen custard. It's not, you know, it's one of those in-betweens, but their stuff's usually pretty good.
We used to have a frozen custard place here in the city that I live, but it closed down a couple years ago. I'm very sad about it.
Yeah, for a bit, there's a Culver's pretty close to where I work. I would go in and buy, like, a pint of their frozen custard to take home and eat.
Nice.
I should do that again. It's been a while. Their stuff's pretty good.
I've never had frozen custard.
Well, we can add it to the list. I can take you guys to Culver's, the fast food restaurant in the Midwest.
We're getting Culver's. We're going to the gas station. We're going to a winery. We're getting our hair dyed purple.
Jesus Christ. I have to think of better things to let you guys do than to
do this
two
is
fast
the,
food.
We're going to watch Ninja Assassin and Speed
this
Racer.
This is the Chad experience.
What else?
We're gonna I want to make Ripley. Jean-Luc watch Ninja Assassin and get drunk with me because I know he will hate the fuck out of that movie. And that will amuse me a lot more than the movie.
Nice.
But anyways, we want to wrap it up because we've been going for a little bit now.
Let's wrap it up. I think we can call it a show. I'm sorry I wasn't there to talk about comics this week, but next week I'll be back with vengeance. I have not only some comics to read over this week, but also, you know, I have a video game adaptation novel that I'm excited to report back on.
You'll
never guess week that we'll that I'll be talking about, so you can look forward to that. I have it open in front of me.
It arrived.
Oh yeah.
Wait, what is it?
Oh yeah. It's a surprise.
Oh. Will you tell me after the show?
I can tell you after the show.
Yes. Oh yeah.
But I'll be talking about that next week. We'll be talking about some comics back at the same place. In the meantime, you can find us all over the place. There will be some plugs after this if you want to listen to those and figure shit out. But thank you all for listening, and take care, everybody.
Bye.